You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back, another edition of No Bets Barred, this time UFC Jacksonville. We head down to Duval County.
Duval.
You said it. Duval. Duval County.
Duval.
Big, big featherweight matchup. Josh Emmett taking on Ilia Topuria. I'm pretty excited for this card, man. One, because the main event. Two, because it starts early. Main card at 3 p.m. That is just, oh, it's music to my ears.
I look, I mean, you're never going to hear me complain about an early card. 14 fights, still a lot of fights. Less excited about the card in general. I'm off this week. I will not be watching this one live. I'm going on vacation, my good man. But you know what I am excited about, Connor Burks? I'm excited about this episode because this is the big 5-0 for us. No Bets Barred, episode 50 in your ear holes, ladies and gentlemen. Who thought we'd come this far?
Not me. Definitely not me. So it's been about, what, 14 months, 14 and a half months. We're almost at the 15-month mark, and we are now 50 episodes in. I believe starting since UFC 273, all the way back in early April of 2022, we have broken down every single UFC fight card since then.
We have. I mean, it's just been, it's a lot. It's a lot of fights when you put it like that. It's, you know, 40, I close 50 some odd fight cards. I guess just a few under 50 UFCs because we've done a couple of other weekend stuff. But yeah, big stuff here. So wanted to get that out at the front. Let everybody know. Big 5-0. Celebrate us. You see us about town, you know, give us a handshake, a high five for this great accomplishment. And for losing you money, because
MMA
Connor,
podcaster, go ahead and shake their hand this weekend.
Just shake their hands. Just let them know. I'm really excited to follow along as you lose money, because Connor, I lost money again last week. I didn't lose a ton, but I lost like a half unit or so. So back to back losing weeks for me, because I am a loser.
I actually won money last week. That's 2 weeks in a row. Trying to dig out of the hole of the 11 week bomb I had at the beginning of June. I've gained back about 6 units. I mean, man, you can't do it because it didn't happen. But if that 11 unit week did not happen, I mean, over the last like 7 weeks, I mean, you'd be looking at like, I'd be up like 19 units. But I had the 11 unit week, so that has to count in there. Need to have a winning week this week 50th episode, got to have a winning week. The pressure is on.
The pressure is on, and I just want to get this out. I don't feel very confident in anything that I'm putting out there today. This is not my level of confidence, not super high on this car, but maybe that's good. Maybe I don't need to be confident. I just got to shoot from the hip.
Now, are you not watching this card because you are uninterested in it, or solely because you will be on vacation and you enjoy your time away?
I will be on vacation. I will be playing golf at the time that this card is going down on Saturday. So do a golf trip with my buddies every year. So I'll rewatch the highlights. I will certainly tune into MMAfighting.com, great website, to get all the updates. Love the main event. I really like a couple of other fights on this card. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that all 14 of them are bangers, because I do not believe they are. But there are definitely a couple I'm super interested in, and I will go back and catch, you know, after the fact. But, sometimes you got to take a break. And maybe I'm excited about the gambling experience this time, frankly, Connor, because I'm just going to put the bets in, just shelve them, set them aside, come back to it on Sunday morning and see if I'm up or down money instead of sweating over them, you know?
Sunday morning. You think you will make it till Sunday morning and have all these bets in play? This card will be over around 6:30 or 7 in
Saturday
the evening.
Night.
Okay.
Probably
I was
Saturday
say.
Night. We finish up. We're going to finish up, you know, second round of golf, grab dinner, have a few beverages. I might pull up my phone while we're doing that and just be like, let's see what we're doing here. But, you know.
Now, are you a no phone guy on the course?
No, I keep my phone on the course, you know, for emergencies, but I don't, you know. I try, the older I've gotten, the more I try to disassociate myself from my phone when I'm doing yes. other stuff. If I'm just around the house, you know, you leave it on you. But if I'm out doing something with friends, I try really hard not to just be the guy who's checking my phone, looking down at stuff. Cause I don't know. I don't need that in my life. I want to be present in the moment.
I'm with you, man. The less I can be on my phone, the better. Though I would have a hard time if I had my phone on me. I'm a big pull up the old ESPN Plus. Just have it there, you know. Don't have to fully focus on it. Just kind of keep tabs on what's going on. Big. If you ever seen me out in New York City on a Saturday fight
night, I've definitely
night,
done that with other.
Feels like we got a little bit of a lag here, huh?
A little bit. It's catching up. I'll edit. But yeah, I do that occasionally for like really big events or whatever. This is like, if this was a pay-per-view, I'm probably going to have the phone up like in the golf cart doing some other business, you know, but as we are, nothing here that's too big for me. I mean, the main event, chef's kiss, but the rest of it, I can probably just catch, you know, later in the evening, the next day, you know, just whenever it comes to me. It's not urgent, pressing business.
I feel that regardless, enjoy the golf trip, man. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, you said chef's kiss. Let's get right into it. The main event. Featherweight bout. Josh Emmett coming off of a pretty heartbreaking loss, I'll say, in the interim championship against Yair Rodriguez, taking on Ilia Topuria, who still has a squeaky clean 13-0 record right now. Big favorite, 13-0, and by the way that he wins his fights, I guess it is justified. Right now, sitting at -320. Josh Emmett coming back at +265. How do you feel about this main event?
So, love this matchup. Really excited about it. I have two primary thoughts I want to hop into, because I've placed no bets right now. I'm debating
wow.
between... I've got one bet that I feel very good about, or at least that I'm happy with. Maybe not good about. But then the other is just whether I want to add a secondary on top of it. The bet I'm talking about here is fight ends by KO, that prop at -110, basically paying out even money. This fight seems to me that we're going to be getting a knockout finish. I mean, Ilia Topuria, not a huge knockout artist career-wise, a lot of a club and sub kind of guy, gets a lot of submissions. We know he's got the hands. We know he's got the power there. We have seen it before. Josh Emmett, not many dudes at featherweight swing the lumber harder than Josh Emmett. I don't feel like we're getting to the cards here. They're going to come in. They're going to chuck him. One guy's going to eventually fall down. I think I really like the KO prop at minus 110 for an answer. My question, Connor, for you, and I want to pitch it to No Bets Bard Nation, because I think there might be a little bit of value on Josh Emmett. A little bit of value on Josh Emmett here. He's a big underdog. Ilya Topuria, you know, like you said, spotless record, but we've seen him get hurt in there. We saw Jai Herbert nearly clean his clock. He is not the most defensively responsible guy. Bryce Mitchell, not a great striker by anybody's definition, had some moments there. And if Josh Emmett hits you, you will go to sleep. So I think there's maybe an opportunity. I wouldn't bet Emmett straight. If I'm going to take a flyer on him, it'll be the KO, Emmett by KO, because that's, I think, the most likely by far way he would win this fight. It's sitting at like plus 450, plus 500 some places, so... Should I double up? Should I go fight ends by KO and then just take a little baby flyer on Emmett by KO?
All right. Well, I do somewhat agree with that. And I feel like quite a few people also share that sentiment that there is value. This line is pretty big, minus 300.
It's wide. I think I said plus, it's very wide.
Plus 265 coming back for Josh Emmett. I guess just to play devil's advocate here, Josh Emmett is 38. He does make a fair size cut to featherweight, and he is coming off of a pretty bad loss to Yair Emmett. To Yair Rodriguez. I mean, he had moments in that fight, but all in all, that was a lot of success for Yair, and then obviously getting finished in that one. And I know he's got to be motivated to come back, bounce back, especially against the 13-0 prospect in Ilya Topuria, but that has to hurt. That has to hurt the ego and everything when you're getting that close to getting a title shot. 38 years old, now it gets taken away.
It was an interim title shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a guaranteed title shot. You come that close to it, and now you get a guy like Ilya Topuria who, just out of the octagon... I just have to just say how great of an appreciation I have for the potential of superstardom this man Ilya Topuria has. If you take a moment to look down his Instagram, the way he dresses, the woman that he is with, the way that he talks on the microphone, the interviews that he does. I think he just got featured in GQ Spain. Like, the dude is like, the way he looks, he is built for superstardom. And then you watch him in the octagon, the finishes, the highlight reels. The guy is made for superstardom. Now, in terms of like actual, should he be a minus 300 over Josh Emmett? I don't know. I think I might actually side with you in the fact that there is a little bit of value. Even though I parlayed up Ilya Topuria last week with two legs that cashed. So right now I'm sitting on one final leg being Ilya Topuria. Some more... Devil's advocate. The Jai Herbert, obviously, that's going to get mentioned. I mean, I thought he was about to get finished. It was a head kick. Josh Emmett doesn't really rely too much on head kicks. But then again, Josh Emmett also has 11 knockdowns at featherweight, the most all time in the division, tied with Jeremy Stephens. I feel like I'm kind of talking in circles right now. I'm on Ilya Topuria.
Let me counter what you just said about the head kick, because it's not a wrong point. It's a very reasonable point. I will counter your previous statements about Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett definitely lost to Yair Rodriguez. Went back and rewatched that fight a couple of times in prep for this. One, buddy, I'm excited for Rodriguez Volkanovski. Oh, buddy, I am excited for that fight.
You're talking yourself into a little Yair Rodriguez.
Oh, I am all the way in there. Yair Rodriguez looked enormous in the cage with Josh Emmett. Sure, and as you accurately described, Josh Emmett makes a big cut. Yair looked enormous, but the things that were, Yair was kind of clubbing Josh Emmett around the cage. Not with the mitts. It was the kicks. The body kicks were brutal. And that is not really Ilya Topuria's game. It's not that. That's, you say Josh Emmett looked rough. I agree. I don't know if he looked rough in a way that Ilya Topuria is going to replicate in there. So I wouldn't take Josh Emmett straight. I think if he's going to win, it's going to be by knockout, and you're getting an extra like 125 on it to take him by KO versus taking him straight. But I'm very tempted by the KO prop.
Here's one more thing I want to throw out to you. We really don't, most of the time when we see Josh Emmett, it's in these fantastic striking battles. And obviously he's going to have a ton of success there. What if Ilya Topuria comes out here and tries to use the wrestling, tries to go for takedowns?
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea. I just don't know. I'd like to think that Josh Emmett, I know statistically he's not like a dynamite defensive wrestler, but he's not a bad one. I think it certainly would behoove Topuria to not just strictly do a striking contest with Emmett, but it's part of why I love this fight. I'm not really sure what's going to happen in it. It feels closer than the odds line it. I could see either dude. And even if the most likely scenario happens and Ilya Topuria gets a win, how does it happen? Does he club and sub him? Does he just knock him out on the feet? Is this kind of a back and forth, you know, 25-minute war? Because we've seen Josh Emmett hang around, be very durable in spots. So anything sort of in my play opinion, here?
In my opinion, I think if this goes 25, it benefits Josh Emmett.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, we obviously haven't seen Topuria go that long. He gets finishes in almost all of his fights. I think 12 of his 13 wins are by finish. And typically they don't take that long to get there. Another thing, I rode the Bryce Mitchell train into the Matador station, and it crashed. It crashed hard. I've seen a couple of people talking about Bryce. I think you just mentioned
that always gives you more appreciation for the guy.
I mean, I've seen a couple of people, and I think you just mentioned it, Bryce Mitchell having like some moments. I rewatched that going back in my mind, my purview of having a bet on Bryce Mitchell, and it took about 90 seconds to be like, this was a bad bet. I should not have made this bet. He is going to lose this fight.
Yeah, I mean, it was never in doubt, but I'm just saying he found the chin some, and I don't think much of Bryce Mitchell as a striker. I don't think Josh Emmett is like a technician, but man, he swings the lumber. And so I got to be honest, this is all of my feelings are a bit reflexive in that I watch Ilya Topuria fight and you see all the immense talent. And sometimes, particularly against Bryce Mitchell, he was swinging out of his freaking shoes.
That's kind of why I think the 25 like, minutes benefits Emmett. Like, here's what I think.
I would say, yeah, but did Topuria seem tired at all?
Yeah, true.
I think he might just have the gas. My thing is, if he is swinging those uppercuts and hooks from his ankles, that's just a huge opportunity to get chin checked in the middle because he is. At points, he's almost throwing himself off balance. He's swinging so hard. And Josh Emmett is the kind of guy who can punish that. I don't know if he will. And it's weird because I've been on the Topuria train and I'm still, you know, straight up. I will pick him to win this fight. Just feels like plus 450 for Emmett by KO is a lot of value that I kind of want to have a shot on. You know?
Well, that's another thing. Everything I said about him in terms of superstardom, potential superstardom that's there. If you're ever going to say Ilya Topuria lacks anything, it is definitely not going to be confidence. The man is
confident.
That is for sure. And that could be his demise, especially against a guy like Josh Emmett. If he is swinging out of his shoes and he gets caught, and this time he doesn't survive it like he did in the Jai Herbert fight. Either way, I went on the rant, the appreciation I have for Ilya Topuria, I'm excited to watch him fight because if he can come out here and look incredibly impressive over Josh Emmett, this guy's the limit, man. Dude lives in Spain, breathes the Spanish air, talks about how much he wants to bring the UFC to Spain, has that superstar potential. He's a very exciting prospect to watch in my eyes.
I mean, if Topuria comes out here and just puts the boots to Emmett, we're talking title shot. Like I think it is very possible he comes out, he wins this fight, makes a big statement, and then gets on the mic and says something afterwards in a main event moment. We're talking him versus Volkanovski in November for the belt because there's no one else. 100%. Max Holloway has already fought Volk a million times. Yair's running it with Volk. Brian Ortega's not in the conversation. Arnold Allen just lost to Max. Like it's.
And how
to number
perfect,
five in the UFC's rankings.
How perfect is it that it times up 2 weeks from Saturday? Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez will be fighting. I mean, you just get on the mic. You win. Say he finishes. Yeah. Josh Emmett gets on the mic. Yair, Volk, you guys go to war. Whoever wins, I got next November.
That's it. And I mean, it's just – It's just that simple. He's young. Like you said, star potential there. Comes out and makes a statement over a guy who just fought for the interim belt. I think like he can get a title fight with this win. And that's the part of it that makes me not want to bet Josh Emmett, because some of this is like the same way you said, you know, you were on the Bryce Mitchell train. I have had Josh Emmett derail several of my bets over the past few years. And it's just like, what if he's just that guy? And so maybe this is the time I should jump on it. But maybe I'm overthinking it.
I don't know why. I feel like
we know what's coming for Topuria. He's going to be the dude soon.
Yeah. It feels like Emmett's like kind of an easy guy to doubt. And he's made people pay
for
that.
Very easy guy to doubt. Very easy guy. I've doubted him a bunch. He has made me pay. And I'm a little gun shy. A little gun shy about Ben Topuria, certainly at this price. That's why I settled on the ends by KO prop at even monies. And I'm not picking a side, just picking violence.
I like that. I like that because wrestling aside, whatever aside, I do think they're going to come in here and they're going to chuck them. And both these dudes are more than happy to engage in a war. And with the power that both of them hold, and the defensive liabilities that Ilya Topuria can have, and I mean, as well, we have seen it a couple times with Josh Emmett too. Like, I think one of these dudes is going to get dropped. And yes, I like violence under 2.5. Yes,
you taking the under 2.5?
Yes, it's one of the classic things. I did get a touch better line than is available now, so it doesn't do much. But regardless, I like violence in this spot.
Under 2.5 is currently -215, and that's not wrong, but wow, that tells you the odds makers do not believe that this is going into the championship.
For a five rounder too.
That's, you don't see that every day. Certainly not it's not heavyweights we're talking about. So
yeah, I'm not gonna lie, but a little pat on the back. Beat that by 100 points. Look at a -115.
Well done. Look at you.
We move on to the co-main event.
That's such a good fight. Such a good fight.
That's what AU, that's where you just have to tip the cap. Bravo to the matchmakers.
Well done.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well done, we go to the co-main event. Amanda Ribas taking on Macy Barber in a women's flyweight bout. Ribas right now -195. Macy Barber +165. Over under 2.5. -215. to the over. Plus 175 for the under. How about the co-main? What do you think here?
So I don't have a bet because there's not a lineup for me to bet it. I would like to, I think, depending on the price, but I'm assuming based on what the other numbers look like, I'd like to be betting Amanda Ribas by decision in this particular fight. If you see a line out there for that, none of the places I have access to currently have a line for Ribas by decision. So,
here we go. Let's
don't
see.
Know where there's... it'll come in at, but I mean,
-115.
Oh, that's fine. Take that. -115. Macy Barber is who she is. You know, talked a big game, came in saying she can be the youngest champion ever. She's not. She's on a great run right now. I mean, four or five wins in a row, something like that. But a couple of those are pretty contentious. Not sure she won a couple of those fights, or at least shouldn't have won them. And none of them came against, like, good opposition, frankly. Because Macy Barber hasn't really grown as a fighter in a while. She can kind of do some stuff. She's very aggressive, and that's sort of the extent of it. I think Amanda Ribas is simply the better fighter. And the idea here for me is, you know, Ribas has gone to five decisions in her eight UFC fights. Barber's six straight decisions. I think Ribas is going to win. So, I think she's a better grappler and frankly, the slightly cleaner striker though. I'll give Barber credit. Barber will probably push more of a pace on the feet and bring the fight to Ribas a little bit more, but I think she's largely just going to get clubbed around in that. So give me Ribas by decision, and I'm doubling up on this fight because I'm an idiot, and I'm taking the over 2.5 as a parlay piece, two-leg parlay.
So I'm actually with you on the Amanda Ribas train. I just took her money line, -165. Yeah, I think it's just going to come down to the takedowns as well. And I think she's going to have success in the takedowns. Barber has like a 47% takedown defense. You talk about those contested decisions. She's coming off of one against Andrea Lee. She got taken down five times. I thought she probably lost that fight. I think Ribas is going to have success there. Also, underrated fact that I did not know, Ribas, almost a 70% striking defense. Like, it's like one of the best in the entire division. So I think it's fairly close on the feet. You could probably give the power aspect to Macy Barber. She obviously has, I think, four knockout wins in the UFC, but I think this one's going to go to the mat, and I think Ribas is going to have some success. I mean, especially after that fight against Araujo, it's tough to bet against Ribas. She looked fantastic.
She looked so good against Araujo, and like she looked decent against Caitlin Chookagian up at flyweight too. And I know Caitlin Chookagian doesn't get a ton of respect. Caitlin Chookagian was the second or third best flyweight in the world for like 5 years. She's a damn good fighter. And Ribas looked very good, losing a decision that maybe she shouldn't have, frankly.
All right, let's keep it moving here. On to the third fight on the main card. Heavyweight bout, Justin Toffa taking on Austin Lane. This is just your prototypical, it's a heavyweight bout, so we're putting it on the main card type deal. Right now, Justin Toffa, -175. Austin Lane coming back at +150. So let's talk about the measurables here. Austin Lane is going to be much bigger. 6 inches height.
Love measurables.
6 inches reach. But let's talk about the things you can't measure. The immeasurables, if you will. Austin Lane.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
Please
tell me you're going to say what I think you're going to say.
Not only is he fighting out of Jacksonville, Florida, we also know he is a former defensive end for the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. I mean, this guy is
damn right, baby. Drafted fifth round.
Duval County through and through. I went back. I was looking at his stats, man. I mean, this guy played.
Jags legend.
Jags legend. Started 7 games in 2012. Had 2 sacks. There was one game on a fateful night.
Started 9 games his rookie year, baby.
This guy's an absolute stud out of Murray State. Shout out to Ja Morant.
FCS, baby.
FCS. Gotta love it. Not only, there was one fateful night, I believe it was in October of 2012. I could be wrong. Not only did he have a sack, he also had a forced fumble. I mean, this guy was out there making plays. The people of Duval stand up for him. You got to account that into your breakdown of this fight. The crowd is going to be on Austin's Lane side. The energy is going to be palpable for the Lane train in what is it, ViStars Arena?
ViStars.
ViStars.
I think it's ViStar Memorial.
ViStars Memorial. Shout out. I feel like you think I'm going Austin Lane Moneyline. I'm not.
Are you not? Oh, come on.
I'm just playing violence. I'm heavy on violence on this fight.
What a feint. You had me set up to knock me down.
There. Yep. Are you on Austin Lane Moneyline?
Absolutely, I'm on the money line. Come on, baby. It's Duval. Jags legend. In front of the hometown crowd. This guy, I love Austin Lane in part because his Wikipedia page makes it seem like he's still an active football player and MMA is an afterthought entirely, despite the fact he hasn't played football in like 5 years and has been a active MMA fighter. Like, dude already has like 18 fights or 15 fights in his career. Absolutely betting him because for two reasons. The first is everything you just said. Jacksonville legend, Jags legend. Duval County going to stand up for him. And the second, and arguably more important, frankly, is that Justin Taffa lost to Jared Vanderaa. And so you should never, ever believe in Justin Taffa if he's going to lose to Jared Vanderaa. So Justin Taffa as a favorite? Hell no. Not doing that at all. Give me the man, the hometown man, Austin Lane, the Lane train. Underdog odds for sure, baby.
I feel you, man, because like I see a lot of people playing Justin Taffa, and it's like, you guys know he lost to Jared Vandera, right? That's a thing that happened, and he's almost a minus 200. Also, we have to talk about another aspect here. Austin Lane was supposed to fight Junior Taffa at UFC 284, bout canceled. Now bro steps in, Justin Taffa. I don't know if there's a little extra motivation there for Justin. I don't know what it is. Does Austin Lane being knocked out in the first round by Greg Hardy, Frank Tate, 5-7 Frank Tate at Island Fights 50, and Vernon Lewis, 8-5 Vernon Lewis at LFA 83, does any of that cause any concern?
Well, I would also point out that Justin Taffa got knocked out in like 4 seconds by Jorgen De Castro, who just watched compete at PFL 5 last weekend. Didn't do so hot, old Jorgen De Castro, because he's not very good. So that's my counter there. I will say that I am, for the sake of science, continuing to bet heavyweight over here, 1.5. However, the point you noted is very concerning for that because Lane has only hit over 1.5 in 2 of 15 career fights and Taffa in 3 of 9. I would humbly suggest that betting the under 1.5 is actually the sharp play here, but that's not what I'll be doing. But that's really the only thought I have there as far as the knockouts.
It's going to be completely electric for you, that bet. I can assure you of that, because in 8 UFC fights between these guys, not one of them has attempted a single takedown. My guess is going to be these guys are going to come in, they are going to swing, and someone is going to fall fairly early. If you make it to that over 1.5, it's going to be at absolute fireworks the whole way.
Oh, I mean, it is. This will be, I won't get the most out of it since I probably won't end up watching this one live. But for those who follow, you know, you're going to have fun. And just one other thing, the last thing. Look at this man's stats. I have long argued that we need a combine, that the UFC should make all of their new signees go through a combine and put that up on UFC stats, because I'm looking at Austin Lane's on Wikipedia. 6-7-3 cone drill, man. It's a solid 3-cone drill time. Justin Taffa is not hitting the 3-cone drill in under 8 seconds. I guarantee you that. It's a different kind of athlete.
Does it make you worry
reps on the bench press, baby.
Does it make you worry that was 14 years ago?
I mean, he's just getting stronger. He wasn't even a full-grown man then. 24 reps on the bench press? 9-foot broad jump? Come on.
This thing is going to be fireworks, because this man has had, when you count his amateur career as well, he's had 20 fights. None of them have gone the distance. And he had what? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 of them. 15 of the 20 into the first round. I really am looking forward to this. If you like violence,
I mean, it's going to be violent.
I think we're going to get it from here. I think someone is
going to be violent.
Slobber knocked.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's going to be violent. All I'm saying is I'm backing. Only one of these two dudes scored a touchdown in the Senior Bowl, and it wasn't Justin
Wow. Tossler. Wow. That's a great pull. That's a great pull. I'm on the under 1.5, minus 180, parlayed up the under 2.5 as well. I will get into that as we go through the card. Let's continue to go through the card. Featherweight bout, David Onama taking on Gabriel Santos. Right now you can have Santos for minus 215, Onama coming back plus 185. I don't know how you feel in this fight. I have nothing here. Felt like Onama might be getting disrespected just because of the way Santos debuted against Lerone Murphy and his last performance. But I mean, he's still a dangerous guy. All of his wins are by finish. He almost is coming off a first round finish against Nate Landwehr instead of it being a loss because Nate Landwehr is a freak. But I mean, he is still very dangerous. I thought about Onama plus 300 inside the distance, but inevitably decided against it.
I'm with you. I feel like if you're going to bet it, it's probably his dog or pass here. But I mean, Santos just looked okay in his debut, certainly. And Onama, the Landwehr loss was just weird, man. Landwehr is just a hard dude to judge how anybody competes against him because he's such a absolute freaking lunatic.
He's a psychopath.
Yeah, I just stayed away.
All right, let's keep it moving. Last fight on the main card, middleweight bout, Brennan Allen taking on Bruno Silva. Right now, Brennan Allen can be at for minus 180. Silva coming back plus 155. Your thoughts on this fight?
So I'm going to be taking Brennan Allen here. And this isn't a value play. Nothing, you know, no sharp betting here. Just
you're not
going to
get
vibes.
Much sharp betting here anyway.
Well, I mean, that's very true, but it's sort of just vibes. I really like the form Allen has showed lately. I mean, his opened my eyes, frankly, because a lot of us at MMAfighting.com, great website, were high on Andre Muniz, probably a little higher than we should have been, and that fight really wasn't even competitive. Like, Brennan Allen just kind of beat him pillar to post, and I mean, that's coming off the Jocko win. It's coming off Mal Kuhn, who is a solid fighter. Like, dudes looked really good. And Chris Curtis is a very, very tough guy to look good against, particularly if you are very reliant on wrestling. It's basically impossible. It's Chris Curtis. He got taken down by Kelvin Gastelum, but until then, he had never been taken down in a UFC bout. And he's just a damn good fighter. He's still only like 28, 29 years old, something like that. And I think we're starting to see the best of him. So, like I said, mostly just a vibes bet, not like a huge tactical breakdown. I just like what he's doing, how he is ascending and peaking. Yes, Bruno Silva coming off the best win of his career, knocking out Brad Tavares, which I didn't think. I remember sitting on this program and saying, Brad Tavares does not get knocked out.
Yep, me too. Me too.
I was very incorrect about that, apparently. So I could get burnt again here, but... I think Allen's a better grappler, and I think he can compete on the feet as long as he doesn't catch a big stray. And yeah, I'm going to bet him.
I think there's no doubt he's a better grappler. In my opinion, I think it kind of goes one of two ways. I feel like we're looking at a Brennan Allen submission here or Bruno Silva cracking his chin and him getting knocked out. We've seen him knocked out, Brennan Allen, that being a couple times here in the UFC, and he's going against a guy with 20 wins by knockout who has never suffered a defeat by knockout. I feel like standing and training with Bruno Silva for 15 minutes is not the best game plan. Yeah. Just, I don't think it would be wise. I think the deficiencies we've seen from Bruno Silva with the grappling, I think you need to take this to the mat. 6 submission losses for Bruno Silva as well. I mean, Allen, 12 wins by sub, including 3 of his last 4. So I think this goes one of those two ways. So I'm on the under 2.5 at minus 190. 12 UFC fights for Allen, 9 have not gone to a decision. Silva, 10 of his last 11 haven't gone to a decision. I like someone to get a finish here.
And that's a very solid bet. No qualms with that whatsoever.
On to the prelims we go. Welterweight bout. Neil Magny taking on Philly Fresh. Phil Rowe. Right now you can get Magny minus 165. Rowe plus 140. I don't know if this matters to you. Phil Rowe fighting out of Orlando. Not Jacksonville, but it is a short drive away.
That's his only advantage. I love this fight because they're the same person.
Exactly. This is like mirror images, 6'3", 80-inch reach.
They carry it all in the same places. If you look at it, like Phil Rowe kind of looks like if you cross Neil Magny and Chris Curtis together, it's just right there. And unbelievable. This is when Anderson Silva used to say, if I could fight anybody, it would be a clone of myself. Neil Magny is getting that opportunity. And as we all know, Neil Magny, Anderson Silva, same tier of fighter. So he deserves that opportunity.
Same cloth.
Same cut from the same cloth, just levels to the game. And outside of the Orlando connection and being slightly younger, I think Neil Magny has every advantage in this fight. To me, they are mirror images, but I think Magny is a much better clinch fighter. I think he's very, very good in the clinch, pretty underrated there. Better offensive wrestler and top position grappler. And most importantly, better cardio. Like we haven't really seen Neil Magny's cardio ever be a problem. And yes, Phil Rowe did end up getting the knockout over Nico Price in that third round, that comeback knockout last year. He was pretty tired when that he was taking some deep, deep breaths.
He was also well on his way to losing that fight.
Oh, yeah, he was well on his way to losing. Nico Price gassed out, and Phil Rowe was just slightly less gassed out than Nico Price was, taking some big, deep breaths, and that's not going to be – Neil Magny has the cardio for days. He's a better clinch grappler. I think he's got enough advantages. So I just took Neil Magny straight at minus 165.
Wow. Am I tripping? Was Phil Rowe up 20-18 on every scorecard going into that one?
Oh, no. He shouldn't have been. I definitely remember thinking that he was losing. I also rewatched that fight this morning and I feel like he was losing. Was he was really losing. Up?
No, I'm looking at it. He was up 20-18 on every scorecard. Wow. Wow.
That is not my recollection of how the scores were. Or watched that fight this morning.
You just said it too. You said a comeback. I could have sworn he was down. Wow.
It definitely, by any definition, was a comeback because Price was putting it on him in that third until he gassed out.
Yeah. I mean, here I am thinking that was a major comeback. But regardless, everything you just said, I completely agree with. I've been on Neil Magny since early on. Took him at minus 135. I thought this line was going to move more. I was honestly surprised to see it at minus 135. And it's so much so, like I'm also seeing so many people on Neil Magny, and I'm so high on this bet that I'm starting to get in my own head and be worried about it. I'm like, what? I shouldn't be this confident.
No fear. Well, here, let me throw another thing out at you because I haven't actually placed the bet. But I'm thinking just go Magny straight because I'm trying to be a little more disciplined coming off back-to-back losers. But Neil Magny and decisions, they go together like peanut butter and jelly, baby. You get Neil Magny by decision, I think the number's like plus 110. Is that a better line? Is that a line I should attack instead of Neil Magny straight at minus 165?
I don't know. I feel like you just take it straight.
Okay. Look, that's a responsible adult move. We're going to stay responsible.
All right. And that's that. We're both on Neil Magny. And I kind of feel like the rest of the world is too. And I'm getting a little worried. But alas, I think he does have a lot of advantages in this fight. I also think the level of competition that he's faced.
Much higher.
It's not Gabe Green. It's not Orion Sosa. It's the best of the best. We keep it rolling. Randy Brown, another welterweight bout, taking on Wellington Turman right now. Randy Brown. Minus 225, Turman plus 190. I kind of like this as a little bounce back spot for Randy Brown. I think, you know, he's going to be obviously taller, obviously longer, obviously rangier. I think he's the better striker by a decent margin. I think he has a finishing upside on the feet. Obviously, Turman, if he gets it to the ground, training with Glover, we've seen him get subs. But I don't know. I feel like Randy Brown, stick and move, find a finish.
I have almost exactly the same notes here. I got Brown just a much more dangerous striker. Terman is not really hugely scary there. Doesn't have too much to offer on the feet. Yeah, if he can get the takedowns, maybe something can happen there. But Randy Brown's a pretty good defensive wrestler. Got a lot of length. Got a lot of power edges here. So the only thing that could give me any slight concern, Terman's still very young. You can see young guys make big leaps overnight, you know. But I think this is, like you said, a good bounce back spot. I've got Randy Brown as the second leg of the 2-leg parlay with the Hebos Barber over 2.5. Hebos Barber over 2.5. Randy Brown, the RB parlay, pays +111.
The RB parlay, I love that. Hebos Barber. So we're clear. Randy
Brown. I picked the wrong parlay. I picked the Christian parlay last week because the price was better. Both legs failed. Had I picked the Armin parlay last week, winner, winner, chicken dinner, baby. I just picked the wrong parlay. Double D parlay in PFL cashed big money, though.
Shout out. That was the Julia Budd one. That was like
Julia Budd Aspen Ladd one that were very dicey. Very dicey from Julia Budd.
Hey, never in doubt. Never in doubt. I'm actually not on Randy Brown. I'm on the under. I felt at the price that I got +115. I think that both guys are live for a finish. Randy Brown finished in 4 of his 5 losses. Terman finished in 2 of his last 3. I think Randy Brown gets him out of there.
I suspect that you're correct. So,
hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
And we keep on rolling to a lightweight bout. Mateus Rebecki taking on Loic Radzabov. Tough name matchup here. Right now, you can get Rebecki for -155. Loic coming back at +135. Don't really have a strong read on this fight. I was on Rebecki inside the distance in that Fiorot matchup. He emptied the tank to try to get it done. Then he didn't have much left. Obviously, he still won clearly in that fight. But just not incredibly impressed by him. And I feel like Loic sort of has similar style as him. They're both going to be pretty dependent on the takedowns. I don't know who's going to be able to edge it on the feet. I don't have a strong read here.
So I don't have a bet. If I have more time, I might do a little tape study. I just didn't have any time to do any real study. My read is, I think Rebecki's probably slightly overrated as a fighter just because he's got the big gaudy record at like 17-1 or something like that. Whereas Loic's probably a little underrated. Kind of want to favor Loic, especially he's much bigger. Rebecki's pretty small for lightweight. And I mean, Tajikistan's having a moment right now. I don't know that I'd want to be betting against a Tajik fighter in there. So kind of feels like I'd be dog or pass here. If I have some time to watch a little tape and feel better, maybe I'll throw one down, but I just didn't.
Yeah. I, if I was going to bet it, I think I would end up taking Loic, but let's keep it rolling. Strawweight bout, Tabitha Baby Shark Ricci taking on Jillian Robertson right now. Closely lined fight. You can have Tabitha Ricci -130, Robertson +110. Robertson has cashed as a dog for this program on more than one occasion, if I'm not mistaken. She feels like she's had a little bit of a resurgence. That ground game is nasty. Similar to the last fight, though, man, it's kind of tough to call. Is Ricci just going to be able to grind her out for 15 minutes, or is Jillian Robertson going to be able to have success when this does go to the mat? Because I feel like it is inevitable that this fight hits the mat. I decided to stay away. Do you have a bet on this fight?
I do not have a bet on this fight. I also decided to stay away. Let me talk you through this, because this fight is awesome. This is like my second or third favorite fight. This was going to be my ChatGPT bet of the week. And then I realized that I'm actually not going to be watching this fight live. There's no chance I'll be watching it. And I don't want to have a ChatGPT bet down if I can't be there to support it the whole way. So hiatus to the ChatGPT, but this would have been it. And so then I dove into it and I just can't feel comfortable either way because, like you said, I mean, it's going to come down to the grappling realistically. Ricci gets a lot of takedowns, a lot of top position, a lot of control. Robertson, nasty ground game. Not as effective off her back. We've seen Miranda Maverick just kind of sit on her for a while. Can Ricci do the same? Maybe, but Maverick also had some clear physical advantages, and Robertson cutting down to straw weight, looking good. Big for, you know, certainly this fight. So I think this is a great fight. This is a fight I will absolutely be watching on either Saturday evening or Sunday, but I just decided to stay away.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep. I'm looking forward to it, but I decided I got my money elsewhere. Don't need to overextend. So let's keep it rolling.
If Jillian Robertson comes out and gets a sub, whoo, we're talking to the moon. Like, some things are happening. New contender lined up.
Yeah. 12-7, making a resurgence. 13-7 at that point. But let's keep it rolling to a men's flyweight bout. Man, just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Not the same panache it used to have. 1-1 last week on flyweight Enders.
Yeah.
And this man we're about to talk was supposed to be fighting last week for the third.
Zalgas Dzhumagulov taking on Joshua Van in a short notice replacement bout right now. Zalgas -190, Joshua Van +160. I actually think there is somewhat of a case to be made for the under. Like, it's a big step up on short notice for Josh Van. 8 pro fights. He's never seen a third round. Zalgas, like, he's not a big finisher, but this is a step down in competition, and his fighting career is essentially on the line here. He's 1-5 in the UFC, and he is somehow getting another chance. In my eyes, like, a favorable matchup. Yeah, it's the haircut. Feels like he wants to go out and get a finish, especially because in his UFC career, he has, 2-3 split decisions. There's a case to be made for it. There's a case to be made for it. So I don't think I'm going to play it, but I don't think it's the worst bet in the world.
I'm playing it.
Let's go.
For the stuff you said. I mean, we're not in the negatives for flyweight under money yet. I mean, we are basically at net even at the moment. This could be the one that drops us down, but I do think Gulag's got his back against the wall. Van, just a young pup, just 21 years old, just full of vinegar. Just gets done in 7 minutes or less of fighting. And I think that he's the hope. He comes in here to try and do something like that and either get something cool or get zoomed, you know, just get zoomed right on out of the cage. So I'm taking it. Don't have the confidence I used to have for flyweight unders, but we're going to keep rolling.
Zalgas, 1-5, -190. It's a hefty price to pay.
It is, but a 21-year-old kid making his debut on like 2 days' notice or whatever insane thing it is.
Very true. We keep it rolling to the next fight, a lightweight bout. Trevor Peak taking on Chepe Mariscal. And all I have to say about this one, firstly, the fight is essentially a pick 'em, -110 each way. It's Peak Week. If you know it's of Peak Trevor Week. Peak, the pride of Pisgah, Alabama, making his return to the octagon. Absolutely insane story. He's been arrested 16 times. He was living in a meth house before being arrested and claims he found God behind bars. And now he fights like it too. I mean, this man is not here for a long time. He is here for a good time. He is the embodiment of that. Mr. Standing Hammer Fists himself, Trevor Peak. And I'm not going to have Trevor Peak fight again and me not be on the under. 8 pro fights, all 8 finishing under the 2.5, 6 under the 1.5, 8-0, all wins coming by way of knockout. It's Peak Week. It is Peak Week, and therefore I am on the under. On the flip side, Mariscal, 5 of his last 7 under the 1.5 as well. And we go back to the immeasurables a little bit. It's not Florida. It's definitely not Jacksonville. He is training out of Agogi Combatatives in North Georgia. I mapped that.
Isn't Agogi Combatatives in Chattanooga?
Oh, is it Chattanooga?
I'm like somewhat confident that it's Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Well, you know, because Chattanooga is like,
because I want to be clear border. When I say I was going to pick Trevor Peak because he's fighting out of Chattanooga where I have a ton of family. So I blind support.
So here's the thing. Chattanooga is very close to the border.
It's right on the border.
The gym itself is actually in Rossville, Georgia.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm okay. Looking at it right now. 95 Hunt Drive, Rossville, Georgia. That's where I mapped it from. His house is probably in Chattanooga.
It's in Catoosa County, where I, again, have a shitload of family members.
Shout out to Catoosa County. Anyone listening from there, shout out. My point is, we can even map it from Chattanooga.
It's the same. It is right at the edge of Catoosa and Tennessee border.
Let's go from the Chattanooga right choo choo. Real ones know if you've been to Chattanooga. We'll go from the Chattanooga choo choo all the way down to ViStar's Veterans Memorial Arena. And that's going to take us 7 hours.
That would have been 7 hours and 20 minutes, maybe.
Bingo, 7 hours. So we're close enough where the friends and family have no excuse not to go. But we're far enough where they're making a nice trek. They need to see someone put on a show. And I think Trevor Peak is going to do that. Friends, family, in the crowd. They're going to be going crazy. They'll be hitting a peak, no pun intended, peak week. Nice. Either way. Under is all I'm saying after this long soliloquy. Under 1.5. Parlayed up, under 2.5 with the heavyweight main card fight.
Love it. I'm taking Trevor Peak because I guarantee you my grandfather will text me sometime this week and be like, hey, there's a Chattanooga boy who's fighting
yes. this week. Let's go.
Does it every time.
Let's go. I love it. We'll keep it moving then to a featherweight bout. Jamal Emmers taking on Jack Jenkins. Right now, Jamal Emmers, a sizable favorite, minus 200. Jack Jenkins, plus 170. This is dog or pass for me, but I am passing. I really have no clue who's going to be able to get the takedowns. Are the leg kicks going to be working for Jack? I just don't feel strongly enough to bet it. Should be a decently entertaining fight. Do you have a solid read here? Are you riding with either side?
I have absolutely zero thoughts on this fight.
All right. That's all you had to say, and we'll keep it rolling. Second to last fight on the card. Can we get some respect for Tatsuro Taira? He feels like he's always either opening the card or the second fight of the night. It is a men's flyweight bout. Tatsuro Taira.
Isn't that just ridiculous?
Taking on Cletson Rodriguez right now. Taira tanking, man. I mean, he opened at like minus 400, minus 245 now. Cletson plus 205. Over under set at 2.5. And for me, there's a case to be made for the under here as well. Taira, 8 of his last 10 have not seen a third round. Cletson, 4 of his last 6 have also not seen a third round. There's a case. Not a bad bet.
I'm smashing the under here.
Okay, then I'll ride it with you. That's all. You know what? I wasn't going to add any more bets. I'll ride it with you.
I'm continuing to believe in it because if you believe in the bet, it will believe in you back. I think we got a little complacent and we weren't believing enough in it. And now I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm coming right back at it. I will also add to this, though, the disrespect for Tatsuro Taira is very real because, I mean, this kid, this is probably the future of your flyweight division, 23, undefeated, looking great every time he steps out of the cage. You'd finally have a flyweight main event, and then you're coming back with the future of the division and putting him as the curtain jerker or damn near the curtain jerker. Not sure what we're doing here from a booking standpoint, but Tatsuro Taira is going to continue to dominate. The fact that this price has been dropping is very interesting to me. Gotta say, I normally don't like to lay a straight bet on somebody at, you know, minus 250 almost, but certainly if it keeps dropping, I'm definitely going to play him and I might take a shot anyway, like minus 225. Cause I love Tatsuro Taira. I think this guy's the future of the flyweights.
Yeah, he's the man. I'm looking forward to it. All right. I'll ride the flyweight under. You know what? Here's what I'll do. I will ride this flyweight under, and if it hits, then I'll take the winnings and ride it into the Zumagulov fight.
Ooh, I love that energy. That's the kind of energy we need to be for.
All right, last fight of the night, middleweight bout. technically the first fight of the night. Last fight, we're recapping. Cody Brundage taking on SD Dumas. It is the return of Cedric Dumas after not the best showing last time out. A couple times during this podcast, we have talked about the immeasurables in this fight, similar to Trevor Peak. Dumas fighting out of Pensacola, Florida. If you're familiar with Florida geography, it's a huge state. You can spend a lot of time in Florida and not leave the state lines. Pensacola, about 5 hours away. Same thing as Trevor Peak. Close enough where you got to make the trip if you're friends and family, but also not close enough that it's not, you know, just a day trip. You're going to have to stay a couple nights. So you're expecting to see a show. Also, first fight of the night, SD Dumas is going to have the crowd. There is no doubt about that. Friends and family are going to be coming from Pensacola to support. First fight of the night, not many people in there. So you're going to be hearing it for SD. You might as well change Duval to Dumas if I can there. I mean, that's just an easy one.
Well done.
Second, last time out, man, against Josh Fremm, he got beat. He got finished, and he kind of got clowned on social media hard after the fight. Now, I'm not saying wrongfully or rightfully so, but you have to think a dude that was 7-0 prior to that is coming to make amends. I think he is coming to get a finish. And on the other side, he's taking Cody Brundage. Skid, lost two fights in a row, coming in on short notice. For all these reasons, I like more violence on this card. I will be taking the under 1.5, parlaying the under 2.5 with the aforementioned under 2.5s. And if we want to go by the measurables,
a lot of violence from you on the card.
And I just added another violence. I mean, I have a lot of violence on this card. 17 of their combined 20 pro fights under the 2.5, 14 of those under the 1.5. Brundage, 4 straight under 1.5, 5-6 in the UFC under 1.5. I don't think anything's going to change here. I think this will be violent. So yeah, I mean, you said it. I got 1, 2, 3. If the Tatsuro hits, that would be 4 on the Zalgas. Then I got the Randy Brown 5, Brendan Allen 6, Justin Toffa 7, and then the main event 8. I have 8 of the 14 fights I have unders. Sheesh, what could go wrong?
Nothing. Just going to be a quick night at the office. Everybody's going to get in, get out, get paid, baby.
Jacksonville needs to be loud. They need to be loud.
Duval, stand up. Duval
stand up. That is UFC Jacksonville. Easy, clean, green, under an hour. Now, I know you're going on vacation. Anything?
I have no PFL action. I don't know if you do.
Me neither. Me neither. No.
None.
I have none. I mean,
I would have had it had Cedric Doumbé still been on this card. And I will admit, pretty excited that he's off because I thought I was going to go on vacation and miss the Doumbé PFL be in attendance for. And then that happened, and I was like, well, that worked out for me. No disrespect to OAM or anybody else. Shane Burgos, love all those guys.
Yeah.
But Doumbé was the attraction for sure.
Cedric Doumbé round one was the easiest bet I was ever going to have to make because he had to get the first round finish, and that is what he does. Yeah, if you want to know anything about this PFL card, the last 5 fights are favorites of minus 500 or bigger.
Oh, yeah. Pretty major favorites. Honestly, you could probably just blind bet all the dogs given the way the PFL seasons have been going and probably profit because they had several upsets in the last couple of weeks, but I won't be doing any of that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good on just sitting this one out. All right, that's that. UFC Jacksonville, no PFL 6. And next week, we're back. UFC Vegas 76.
The card of the season.
Strickland versus Magomedov.
Yeah. Co-main event's dope. Demir Smagulov versus Grant Dawson's a great fight.
Yeah, Demir's back. That's good.
Demir's back. Unretired. It's great. But yeah. Kevin Lee making his return to the octagon.
Kevin Lee, I actually kind of like him as a dog. I'm not going to lie. Melissa Gatto.
Got a lot of ovs on this card.
Michael
and a
Morales.
Fight between two ovs.
Ooh,
Blagoy
yes.
Ivanov, Alexei Romanov.
Oh, God.
Heavyweight over action coming out.
Romanov's back. Ugh. Oh, Grom's on this card against Ellis Brenner. Yeah, I mean.
A lot of stuff happening on this guy.
Yeah.
Won't call any of it great, but it's there.
Yeah, I called you a liar.
But it doesn't matter if it's great. It's just the amuse-bouche, the appetizer
for
the best card of the year.
just 2 weeks away, international fight. We cannot wait. See you next week. Enjoy the golf trip, Jed.
Thank you and love y'all.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.